as shown to us in the book of the Revelation. The message is to the overcomer. Book of the Revelation, chapter 2, please. Book of the Revelation, chapter 2. Promises to the overcomer. Glimpses of heaven. Chapter 2, Book of Revelation, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this is our text. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, in that stone a new name, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. And may the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Hidden manna. What does manna speak of? What does manna tell us? John chapter 6. Hidden manna. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never perish. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread which I give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. We learn from this that the manna is a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the manna like? Exodus chapter 16. What was the manna like? This type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 16. Verse 14. When the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing. The manna was small and it was round, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they knew not what it was. Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white. The taste of it was as the wafers made with honey. The manna. We read in verse 16 that it was small. The manna was small. A picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, creator of heaven and earth. Yet when he came to this earth, he was small. From the height of heaven to earth, he was small. God of heaven, you remember when he was hungry? The devil tempted him. He wouldn't supply for himself, but for 4,000 and 5,000 at another time, he fed them. You remember another time? It says he grew and was strong. He came as a little person. He prayed. Why would God pray? He became small. He slept on a pillow. Creator of heaven and earth. And commanded the waves to be still. And in many ways, he became small. While even his brothers looked at him and didn't think much of him. And you remember on another occasion, they said, how does this man know letters? He never went to school. He became small. But not only was the manna small, it was round. The manna was round. What does that mean? Consider a round object. A circle, if you will, or a nice choice grape, round. When you consider a round object, where does it start and where does it finish? Anyone? Where does a circle start? Not a circle that you make, a circle that you see. Where does it start and where does it end? A circle has no beginning and no ending. A beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. A circle, that which is round, no beginning and no end. And this was true of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now notice, without mother, without father, without ancestry, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, everlasting, round, no beginning and no ending. The eternal God, the everlasting God. Then we read also that the manna was like coriander seed. White. What does that tell us about our Lord Jesus Christ? White. You remember in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Absence of sin. 1 Corinthians, he knew no sin. 1 Peter, he had no sin. 1 John, he did no sin. Picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the manna. Then we read that the taste of the manna was like honey. How does honey taste? Sweet. I'm tempted to ask, but I shouldn't ask. Isn't he sweet to us? And you say, well, how is he sweet? He is the living word. This book is the written word. In every respect, the written word and the living word agree. Let's consider some of his sweetness. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The manna was sweet. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, Converting the Soul. Do you know any other book that will do that? The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. You know any other book that will make wise simple people? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. These characteristics that we have just read, verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey. When is the last time you had a good taste of the Word of God? It's sweet. It thrills you. The Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ as the manna. He's sweet to our taste. Let's look at a couple of other scriptures that tell of his taste. Psalm 119. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The manna, small, eternal, sweet. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Verse 1, I am come into my garden, my spouse, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. O friends, drink ye, drink abundantly. The sweetness of the Lord. But turn with me to another scripture. The book of the Revelation, chapter 10. And oh, how sweet he is as we feed on him. Book of the Revelation, chapter 10. Verse 8. Revelation 10 and 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. He said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be sweet in thy mouth. Sweet in the mouth, bitter in the belly. Why bitter in the belly? I have a brother in New York, and about 4 months ago he called me to tell me that his son was dead. I knew the son. In fact, my brother and his wife lived with us for a while. Here was a young man in the meeting, in the Sunday school, brought up in a Christian home, went to school and did very well, joined the police department and did exceedingly well. He became a lieutenant. That's quite a thing in New York City for the police department. He attained much so far as this earth was concerned. When his father called me to tell me that he was dead, I said, is he saved? His father said, no, that's bitter. That's when the word becomes bitter. When you have relatives, friends, and associates that die without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's bitter. But otherwise, that manna is sweet to our taste. Numbers chapter 11, please. Numbers chapter 11. Verse 7. Numbers 11, verse 7. The manna was as coriander seed, the color thereof as the color of delium. Delium. The color of delium, like coriander seed, a precious stone. A precious stone. And isn't the Lord precious to us? Jesus, my Savior, so precious is He. He is precious, a precious stone. We go a little further. In our study, you'll have to pardon these pages. Static electricity, I put them together, and the devil doesn't want it to come apart. He doesn't want you to hear the message. We read in the book of the Revelation, hidden manna. What was the reaction of the people when the Lord came the first time? How did the people feel about him? Those to whom he came. The book of Numbers, chapter 2. This manna, this wonderful manna, beautiful color, beautiful taste. What was the reaction of people in general? Numbers chapter, did I say 2? 21. Sorry. Verse 15. Numbers 21, verse 15. That is not the verse. But the verse that I have in mind says, they loathed the manna. The people to whom the manna was sent, this precious, delicious manna, they loathed. To what extent did they loathe the manna? Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Why do the heathen rage? The peoples imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves against him, and the rulers counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. That's what they thought of him. Isaiah 52. What did they think of the manna? Isaiah 52. Verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage, his face was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. His visage was so marred, he didn't look like a human being. That's what that verse means. You say, is that possible? Oh, yes. I remember one Sunday morning at a hospital in New York, I was on emergency duty. And in came an object. That's the best I can say. Hopefully human, because this was a hospital for human beings and not animals. I looked at that object. It wasn't the question, was this a male or a female? That wasn't the question. Was this a human being? That face looked like the face of a bear. Now, when you see pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross by Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo and Raphael and all those fellows, You see him on the cross, and he has a nice-looking face, a little blood on it. That's not how he looked. This Bible says that when he was on that cross, his face was so marred that he didn't look like a human being. That's what they thought of him. What do we think of him? He's our Savior and our Lord. Hidden manna. Hidden manna. Ne'er again shall cruel sinners set at naught our glorious Lord. No more is he going to be despised and rejected by men. A white stone. The manna was like a white stone. A jewel. That white stone indicates a relationship. You know how it is when a young man gives a young lady a ring, engagement ring? Usually has a stone in it, doesn't it? That ring says she is mine. And she says he's mine. She belongs to me. He belongs to me. And that white stone tells us that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. That's what that white stone means. Chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's. My beloved is mine. That stone tells us that we are eternally bound and linked to the Lord Jesus Christ. The white stone. He's mine and mine his. Now, you know, beloved, there isn't... There's nothing in this world that's really yours. Nothing that really belongs to you. Oh, I have a home. I have a house. And it's paid for. Now, don't be too sure. My father-in-law and mother-in-law had a nice house. Paid for. And the government decided that they wanted that property. And so they sent a notice to them. We want to build a school in this area, and we are buying out all the houses. And what do you think the first thing they did was? They dropped the evaluation of the property. You have to be out by such and such a time. And we'll pay you the value of the property when we get ready. That was 2 years later. You think you own something down here? You have money in the bank? Do you know that it is legal, constitutional, for the President of the United States to declare every $20 bill no longer valid? You have any $20 bills? It's not yours. The President can declare any denomination of money illegal, no longer valid. So what do we have? He is mine, and I am his. That's for sure. Nobody can take that away. Then we read in Psalm 31, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. How's that? My rock. I'm standing on the rock, built on the rock. He's my fortress. You can't defeat me. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength, my buckler, and my salvation. He's my high tower. He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. He's my friend. He's my master. He's my redeemer. Those are things that we have that you can hold on to. They will never fail. My redeemer. Oh, how sweet to call him mine. He sought me. He bought me. And then he brought me into his house. Isn't that precious? That's eternal. That's worth more than money. You can lose your money, but you can't lose these precious truths that we have been considering. I think I told you this before. Back in New York City, there was a lady that used to sing. She'd come to the marketplace and sing. And I have been looking for that hymn. Well, I was about 10 or 11 years old then. And I haven't found it. If you know it, please tell me. Her song is, "He's My Everything." How does that impress you? He's my everything. Know anything better? And he's my everything. Pardon me, he's our everything. Hallelujah. What a Savior. But then we read, come back with me to Revelation chapter 2. Then we read, verse 17, "I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name." I wonder what he's going to call me. I wonder what my new name is going to be. We're going to have new names. And God, how shall I describe this? He's great at giving new names. Sarai, he changed to Sarah. Sarai means contentious. Sarah means princess. Isn't that a beautiful change? I wonder what he's going to call Arthur Garnes. What is he going to call you? A new name, which no man knows. He changed Gideon's name to Zerubbabel. He changed Abram to Abraham. He changed Peter getting old. Thank you, Simon to Peter. He changed Paul's name from Saul to Paul. That's a magnificent change. How many people have you met in your lifetime named Saul? How many Sauls have you met? I've only met one. Fellow in high school. Oh, but he was brilliant. Before we finished high school, he had finished all the mathematics courses at college level. He's the only one that I know named Saul. It is said that people name their dogs Saul, and they name their sons Paul. And he's going to give me a new name. I wonder what he's going to call me. And nobody else is going to know it, you know. We just read it. So when he calls my name, you're not going to know. And when he calls your name, I'm not going to know. And you say to yourself, well, where is he going to get all these names from? Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Genesis 15, verse 5. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, count the stars, if thou be able to number them." Can you number the stars? Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 22. Jeremiah 33 and verse 22. "As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, Did you get that, beloved? The host of heaven cannot be numbered. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. He said to Abraham, count the stars, if you can. We just read that you can't count the number. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He brings up the host of heavens, which we can't count. Notice what it says. He brings them out by number and calls them by name. What capacity! The stars are like the sands of the sea, and they just don't fall out at night. My Lord calls them out. How does that appeal to you? That's some majesty. That's some greatness. He calls the stars, everyone by name. He's got a name for everyone. And when we get to heaven, he's not going to run out of names. He's going to have a new name for all of us. That's it. I'm finished. Four 106, please. I am his, and thank the Lord, he's mine. 406. I better stop. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks for the Holy Spirit who teaches us thy word. We thank thee for thy precious word, which teaches us and shows us things to come. What a future we have. Again, we thank thee for salvation. Dismiss us now with thy blessing resting upon us. Take us to our several places of abode in peace and safety. The glory, the praise, the honor be thine. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.